News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
I'm joined by Louise Byrne, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner, to bring us up to speed on some of the stories that you may not yet have heard. And we start with a childcare shortage and an interesting confluence of two competing crises.
Exactly. So we obviously have a housing crisis, and not only do we have a cost crisis in childcare, but oftentimes when people are looking for places in the first instance, they find they can't even think about the cost crisis because they have an issue getting a place in, you know, to start off with. So this is an interesting story in the Irish Times this morning from Ellen Coyne, and it's the Department of Children have intervened in the proposed closure of a County Limerick creche. This is Tiny Friends Creche in Mungret, and they are planning to close the creche. There's 80 children in this creche. They were initially told they would have another year to, the parents were told they'd have another year, and then they were later told that the place would be closing at the end of this month. So what the Department of Children have done is that they have intervened and warned this creche that would significantly worsen a shortage of childcare places already locally, particularly for kids around four.
But the creche intends to close so that it can convert the building into apartments.
Yes, so the plan is to create it five apartments as part of kind of a broader complex of apartments being built. But so Norma Foley, in her observation to the creche, has said that while she supports housing, as the government always say, it's their number one priority, that, you know, it is a conflicting issue and we also need childcare places. So what Ellen is reporting in the Irish Times this morning is that there's going to be a proposal brought forward this year which will give Minister Foley or whoever's in the Department of Children more authority to object to developers who try to turn creches into residential housing.
Even though that helps to solve the housing crisis.
Yeah, it's kind of taking with one hand and giving with the other, isn't it? And I mean, all those, I guess it's intertwining issue as well, because all those people who are buying the homes will likely need childcare places. So which takes the greater priority? It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one, but it seems like we're going to have the minister intervening a lot more. And I wonder how James Brown, her party Fianna Fáil colleague, will feel about that one.
Now, we have a weird story from the Antipodes. This is a murder investigation after a body was found, I think, in a suitcase?
In a suitcase on the side of a road in Australia, around 230 miles southwest of Sydney. So Australian police went to investigate after two men found what they believed to be a body in a suitcase on Sunday on the side of the road.
Body of a young woman?
Body of a young woman who was wearing clothing. It had hair, had a nose piercing. And lo and behold, it actually transpired that this was a doll that was in the suitcase. And an extremely lifelike doll, it would appear. But this happened.
Should we ask what kind of doll?
We don't know what kind of doll.
Do we not?
We do
okay.
not know. No, unfortunately not, Anton. But
we can take a guess.
Yeah, I could say you could take a good stab at that one. But police announced on Monday they had launched this big murder investigation. The police were saying that it had been quite a shocking discovery for the two men who had found the suitcase, and they'd just been out, you know, on a leisurely weekend drive, as many people do, she said. And then she had to backtrack and say that she'd no regrets about how the case was handled. And of course, the men did the right thing and phoning this in, but the murder investigation has been shelved.
It is
no
a
one
tribute to the manufacturer that they were able to launch an entire murder investigation before they realised they were dealing with plastic.
You could market the dolls off the back of that now shelved murder investigation. But yeah, but I mean, it just goes to show the importance of, you know, if you see something suspicious, ringing it in, even if it's wrong.
Meanwhile, Vogue Williams has been torturing her co-host on radio in the UK.
Yeah, this is a bit of crack. So this is Vogue Williams, who is expecting her fourth child very, very shortly with her husband, Spencer Matthews. And she pranked essentially her Heart Radio colleague, Jamie Theakston. And she let on that she had gone into labour while on air. And what she did was she put a water balloon underneath herself. She burst the water balloon, let the water gush to the floor, and said she had, her waters had broken.
I think we have some of the audio of that.
What is that? Well, what just happened? Oh, my God.
Are you all right?
Oh, my God.
Your water's not breaking.
Yes.
You're f***ing kidding
oh
me.
Oh, my God. What are we going to do?
I'm sitting
down. Oh, my God, no. Oh, my God.
You're not going to have the baby right now. Let me tell
Ooh, I'm not having a baby in Heart Studios. No way.
No, you're not.
I don't know how I'm going to walk down to a car.
We're going to get you out down the back.
You might have to literally wheel me on this chair.
Poor old Jamie.
Yeah, in fairness to Jamie, he handled it very well. He was very calm when she was saying, I don't know if I'm going to be able to walk down.
What else going to do, run around in a panic?
He was like, it's okay, we'll get you a taxi, we'll put you in the lift, everything's going to be fine. And he was a good sport when he found out it was a prank. But yeah, I wouldn't fancy being in his position because I think I would panic, to be honest.
And presumably she must be very close to the due date anyway.
She's
then,
very
she?
Close. It's within the coming weeks. And even if you look at her social media, she looks like she's ready to pop. So she's been through this before. This is her fourth child. So I'm sure she knows well the process of having a baby.
Lastly, interesting research about just how empathetic and insightful dogs are about their owners.
These studies always make me laugh because they're caveated in so many what ifs. So this is a study from the University of Vienna, and they were analysing regions of a dog's brain and studying what happens when they were shown different images. So they were shown images of people with happy faces, with neutral faces, with angry, sad faces, whatever. So what they did is they did two experiments. And the first one, so they got dogs who they could put in an MRI machine. So very highly trained dogs. And the dogs were shown five sets of happy faces and five sets of neutral faces. And what they found was that in certain parts of the brain, part of the brain that is associated with higher visual processing, social processing and reward processing, they were able to tell the difference between the positive faces and the neutral faces, and they obviously preferred the positive ones. So then they reran the experiment, another MRI test with 12 dogs this time. So your sample size is different, so I'm already finding problems with this report. But anyway, and they showed them again unfamiliar sets of faces with different expressions of happiness, sadness, fear and anger. Now, in the first part of the brain that could tell the difference between happy and neutral, they actually couldn't tell a difference between the faces. But when you looked at the whole brain, it found it was possible to distinguish between sad and fearful faces, angry and fearful faces, but not angry and sad faces.
So it isn't therefore just that when your dog looks at you, it knows you're angry or you're not. It actually knows you're feeling a bit sad today, you're feeling fearful about what's happening. They're that empathetic.
Allegedly. But the authors also said it could be harder for dogs to tell apart facial expressions if they're, you know, if you and I are both pulling a sad face at a dog, that might be a little bit harder. And a lot of it's also based on body language sometimes. But yeah, they think the dogs can somewhat read expressions, but...
How do you get the funding for this? Like, how do you go to somebody and say, you know that 300 grand MRI machine? I'm going to need it for 3 weeks because I'm going to train dogs to lie in it while I show them pictures and see how they feel.
But also, I don't know if you've ever gotten an MRI, Anton. Like, it's not a nice experience. So I would worry about the poor dogs because it's like, it's kind of the noise of it. It kind of gets into your head. If you're a human, you can understand it. I don't
know how well a dog... scratch behind the ears. You'll be fine. Louise, thank you very much. That is Louise Byrne, who is political correspondent with the Irish Examiner.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.